We're certainly glad you're tuned in on the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's July 24th, 2012, and I have four friends here in the studio. In fact, one new friend that I just met this past Sunday at the early service at the First Baptist Church of Champaign in Savoy. I had heard about Eva for some weeks, and we'll have more to that story and how we got to meet up and have them here in the studio. But if you missed yesterday's broadcast, I had a special interview with Bruce Henriksen. He's the department chair of business and ag industries at Parkland College. He shared a very God-honoring story and how God has worked in and through his life. And that program is archived at greatnewsradio.org. So I invite you to stop by our website, have a listen, and you'll see a picture of Bruce right there on our website. Also, I've been doing Facebook postings. So for those of you that have Facebook accounts, type in Great News Radio, and you can see the various guests that we have in the studio, including today. I have Jim and Nancy Miller in the studio. You're familiar with both of them. And Nancy, on Sunday, one of the members at the First Baptist Church of Champaign in Savoy said, "I love that new voice of that woman that's doing the scripture reading." I go, "Oh, that's Nancy Miller. She helps script out those radio spots, and she's been helping volunteer for a number of years, but recently we've had her recording some spots." So kudos again, Nancy. They love your voice in your scripture reading, so thank you for helping. Jim Miller, as you know, sits on the radio board with Great News Radio, so we appreciate his Christian character and background experience with this radio ministry over all these various years and his friendship. There's a story behind why we decided to have Eva in the studio along with her daughter Natalie. And that began with two different families praying. And the reason why on this edition of Mark and Friends, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, I want to share their story because it's answers to prayer. Somebody praying, a family praying in Seattle, in Washington State, about a specific situation for their daughter, and then a couple in the Savoy area that's praying through and thinking whether they wanted to assist in something that was presented at work. So I'll begin with you, Jim, maybe telling some of that story, because I think this will encourage our prayer warriors out there to keep praying, and for families to be praying for their children, and others to just be praying on how God might use their family or their work situation in a God-honoring way. So, Jim, why don't we start with you?
Okay. Well, I work for the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. Specifically, I work at the Construction Engineering Research Laboratory, or CERL, in Champaign. Been there 22 or so years. One thing I like about CERL is it has lots of outreach programs, lots of programs that cater to bringing in young people and giving them opportunities to find out what it's like to work in an engineering or science environment. So this year, CERL was participating in a program called SEAP, which stands for Science and Engineering Apprenticeship Program. The purpose of that program is to bring in high school students, give them about 8 weeks of experience at our lab working with scientists and engineers, and getting a little bit of a taste for what it is like to work in that environment. So I was just minding my own business at work one day and got one of these emails that was sent out to the entire organization of about 300 or 400 people. This came from our executive office, and they were announcing that we were having this SEAP program, and they needed a home for one student from Seattle, one young lady from Seattle, for 8 weeks. And I saw that, and I thought, well, that looks like that could be fun. So I tucked that in the back of my mind, and I thought, well, one of these days I'll go home and mention it to Nancy. I didn't say anything to her right away because sometimes springing things on your wife can...
Husbandry 101, you've
learned
that.
Yeah, you got to be a little careful about that. So I didn't say anything for a few days, and then finally I realized that if I'm going to do anything about this, I better not sit on it too long. So I mentioned it, this possibility of us taking in this high school girl who we didn't know at all, but taking her in for about 8 weeks, and I thought it would be fun. And Nancy, at first, was maybe not quite as sure as I was.
Well, you just never know what the person's like, and so...
And you're opening your home, and this is a stranger, and you don't know anything about them.
Exactly. So I was just a little reticent. Reticent is the word. And I expressed that to Jim, but I said, if you really think this is what we should do, then go ahead and find out more. But Jim was really kind, and he said, well, if you don't think we should do that, I will just tell the man in charge that we're really not so sure this year. So Jim was very respectful And he decided to call or talk to the person at Searle.
And I'm sure you both at the time were thinking, well, God, we would be open to the idea, but we kind of need some confirmation or leading, or as I know you would probably go to prayer on this.
Well, anyway, after many years of marriage experience, I've learned that it pays to, as she said, to be respectful and not try to push things off on your wife. So I decided, well, I'll just call the guy back at our office and tell him that this probably isn't going to work for us. So I called him, and when I was talking to him, he said, well, now don't worry about it. Don't feel bad about it, because I know that the parents said that they were going to be checking with some local churches in the Champaign area, and they're praying about an opportunity opening up for their daughter. So just don't worry about it. So when I heard that they sounded like believers and were praying about this, I thought, I better tell Nancy about that. So I went back and talked to Nancy about it.
Right, and that was sort of a whole new side of things. And we thought, well, maybe we better find out a little more. This family might be the ones that we would be happy to be involved with. And so Jim said to this person at Searle, could we have the phone number of this family? And maybe we could talk to her parents, the student's parents, and we'll find out more.
So anyway, so we did get on the phone, and we talked with her parents, and it just sounded very quickly, I think we had a warm rapport with her family, and it became very easy for us to make a decision.
Yeah, it seemed like many things lined up. They had a heart for music, and as many of our listeners know, both Peter and Paul, they sing, they play the piano, the violin, and that was an interest with this family, that they wanted to know if there were good churches around, so you had the affinity or that instant connection or camaraderie that you shared the same Savior. And
right.
And Nancy, just a week or so prior, you were in the studio, and we did an interview, and I think you were able to share with them, here's me with a friend, because both you and Jim have had a practice of reaching out to international students and working with many people from around the world.
Well, right. About the day before, we talked to Eva and her husband, Chuck, about their daughter, Natalie, coming and we being the host family. I think that I was in the studio with you and a friend of mine, Z, from China originally. And so I could tell Chuck and Eva that if they wanted to find out more about our family, maybe they could tune in or log in to greatnewsradio.org, look at an archived program, and find out what we had to say with our Chinese friend, which was significant because Eva has a background being from Taiwan and her husband originally from Malaysia, both of Chinese descent. So it was just amazing how God put that all together.
So, Eva, Natalie, I'm going to have you step closer to the microphone. And Eva, here you're a mom, and you're praying about sending your daughter, who's in high school, to this far, far away land from Seattle to Illinois. And you probably, at the time, are praying up yourself. So, from your point of view, you're looking at sending your daughter away for 8 weeks. What were your prayers like, and how did you see God answer them?
We were definitely very anxious.
Okay, a little closer.
We were definitely very anxious about the room and board situation. When we applied this program, I did not know it does not provide room and board. And I did not know a very limited number of high school students was actually participate. And I did not know that other 4 high school students was from local. So the room and board situation was never really the problem from the organization perspective. So after John is the organizer and the contact person I've been talking to, so he say, normally what they do would put the student in the dormitory with all other intern students who range from a PhD candidate, senior in college, and that really make us concerned in terms of putting her dormitory with a lot older people.
Yeah, because she's only 16 at the time.
And so I asked John, is that okay for them to alcohol, is that permit in the dorm? He said, of course, they are older. And sure, and many other things. So we feel really uncomfortable. So we really start praying together, praying really hard. If it's God, He has to provide.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our prayer. And my husband is a very cautious person, and so we say, let's start from the people we know. So I send email to all the people on my mailing email list, the people that Christian people that they know. They have people knows relatives, but nobody in Champaign. And then we send through churches. Just word of mouth through church, and I get on in varsity or cruise, just trying to find some connection through church. And then we keep praying. And at the same time, I say, John, maybe you could send an email out for us. And he says, sure, but we are not sure because email out, we don't know people's background. We would really want a Christian family. Since Natalie is still kind of beginning of her Christian journey, so we would say, just see, try everything, see what comes out of it. And then John called, say, oh, we have some possibility, but now probably not. There's no. So that's why I told him, in my mind, it's in our prayers, if this God, everything has to work out. Mm-hmm. If not, she just meant not to go. And we won't let her go unless we find family we feel really comfortable with.
And so then I guess Jim and Nancy called you up. Is that the first conversation where you're starting
right.
to talk?
It was a big surprise. But the same day, John, in the morning, he told me there's nobody in this organization is wants to be a host family. So that's why I told him, well, I just keep praying and see God, what do you do? And then so when we came home, find out a voice message from Jim. I was like, wow. Hmm. So we said, we couldn't wait. So we hurried, just get on the phone to call them, and we just connected right away.
And then you, I guess, logged on and listened to the interview with Nancy. So then you had to be feeling like, wow, Lord, it seems like you're answering our prayers, because we wanted to find a nice Christian family. And I said this at church the other day, that Jim and Nancy, you couldn't have found a better Christian family that have a real heart for people. And so God answered that prayer, and Natalie has now been in the area. I guess, Natalie, you've been with us about 5 weeks now. I know the Millers and I and some other friends, we all camped together, so I got to tease you for about 2.5 full days, and you made it through my teasing.
Yeah.
And I guess you have a sister back in Seattle you might want to say something to.
Sure. Hi, Val.
Natalie's very sweet, a little cutie, and yet very quiet. So whenever we can get any kind of expressions out of her or words out of her, we feel we're doing really good. But it's been great having you around, and I know Peter's been acting like big brother to you, and we've had some fun together. I know you've been out here even in the woods with Peter, shooting your first ever 22. So you've had some fun. What's it been like for you at Cyril? You know, here you're a high school kid learning to be in the business world, holding down like 8 and 10 hour days, working like everyone else. What's that like?
Well, it's cool to see the different things that they do and to meet some new people and to feel more respected on some level because mm-hmm. you are working and they do treat you like a professional. Mm-hmm. And some of the other projects the interns are doing are really fun. Mine specifically is pretty cool, but what I'm doing is not necessarily like the coolest thing ever, but it's necessary, so I feel glad I can be a part of it.
Yeah. Well, Eva, I want to bring some of the story back to you, because what always intrigues me and intrigues our listeners, I believe, is people's testimonies, some of their faith journey, some of the unique ways that God has been at work in individuals' lives. And with you being from Taiwan and your husband being from Malaysia, Christianity is not the typical faith tradition of most people. So what's some of your story? What was that point where you started learning about Jesus and learning about the Christian faith and then growing in that newfound knowledge?
I actually grew up with a Christian family. My mom goes to church for all of us. But however, I never really have that personal relationship mm-hmm. with God that strongly. So when I came here by myself, I went to University of Washington to study my graduate school. In the process, getting PhD was definitely my goal. And I was very ambitious. I want to get Nobel Prize, all those blah, blah, blah. But as slowly, and especially I know I'm going to get it, but that time you just feel really empty. Hmm. You feel like, oh, this is it. This is what I got. So what, right? But that time I'm really seeking God. And I was postdoc, and I met my husband there through God's arrangement. But that's the time really make my commitment and see I'm so limited. And he has the big plan mm-hmm. for us in life.
And I think you shared growing up, and it's the case even in our country, but many times there's different, if you will, brands of Christianity. Sometimes there's like cults or churches that like theirs is the one truth and other churches maybe aren't so biblically driven, or what does it really mean to follow Jesus? And as you were growing and learning mm-hmm. to pray more and surrender, you started seeing some things in some Christian believers that were really attractive. And I think it was on a campus ministry with Maranatha or somewhere, you saw these really genuine followers, these believers in Jesus that had an influence on you.
Yes. So when I was in postdoc, I worked for a lab and my husband was there too. And I heard about campus ministry, but in my mind, they are very radical. They really go on the campus and preach and really loudly. And so I said, well, that's probably nothing to do with me. But and when I really meet the person, so this lady participated, a couple, they came to ask me whether I want to do things with them. And I see they're genuine and so pure for God. They just have a heart mm-hmm. just for God. They really touch me and really say, okay, my background maybe not all right. You know, what I was told maybe is not real. I have to step out to see, just by faith, to see what God has to open my eyes to mm-hmm. see him. At the time, I really pray. I say, I want to see you. And just grow slowly. He just opened the door.
I know you started reading the scriptures and you identified a number of verses off air that you're really appreciative of, one in Jeremiah. And I know Psalm 23 has a special place in your heart. Maybe read that for us and tell us why it's significant for you.
Okay. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will not fear to evil. For you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You anoint me with my head with oil. My cup overflow. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Mm-hmm. Wow, all of our eyes are watering up. That's very meaningful to you. Why?
Well, every verse just, you know, sometimes just one verse would make so different, like in the midst of things, like in for Natalie's case, and he say, I, you know, as mother, you know, you concern so much about your child. But he told me, I will not fear. There's no evil. And he is always with mm-hmm. me. And more of is he also with her. Mm-hmm. God has always bring me assurance, like, don't you know I love her more than you could? Mm-hmm. I love her just like I love you. And that is assurance for parent. Mm-hmm. So that's how some really just my, just everything, because of memorizing childhood. So when situation comes, it just pop out in my head.
Mm-hmm. Now I know there's also a verse in Jeremiah that's dear and close to your heart.
Yeah.
But tell us about the Jeremiah verse.
That's Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declare the Lord. Plan to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. This is more kind of aligned with my prayer for Natalie specifically.
much. And my daughter, Valerie, she's pretty comfortable. I think her walk was long. We feel really good about it. But Natalie, we're just not sure, especially which college she should be going. But every time I think or pray about that, this verse just pop up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
God says, I have plan for her.
Mm-hmm.
A plan. So as everything turns out, this God has a plan, and it's just more than what I pray for.
Yeah.
It's a miracle from my perspective and from our family, and provide this wonderful Christian family. Mm-hmm. It's more than we can ask, and she couple with Jim every day.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, God is so good. He answered the prayer more than what I can even imagine.
And what we can always trust in is he loves Natalie way more than you and your husband can love her. And he has a plan and purpose for her. And she's a beautiful young lady that's coming all the way out here and growing and learning and developing and making friends. And it's been fun getting to know her. And that's the beauty, is God has created Natalie in his image. And you can trust. There's that verse, I think it's in Philippians, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. And I've told a lot of parents, that's God's promise to the parents, that as God has began a work in Natalie, a work in you, a work in myself and Jim and Nancy, God will bring it to completion. And you can trust and rest in his developing that work in those people. And certainly you'll have a role. You're a mom. You love your daughter. But we can trust that God will complete that work and bring it to completion. So, well, we're out of time. I'm so glad you could make it to the studio and be a part of the morning program, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. And thanks for being available and being in the studio today. I'm going to close out with a reading from Jeremiah 29:11-13. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Thank you, God, for being approachable. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.